that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, and we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hope you have to excuse the coughs and croaky voice. I think we're all kind of trying to get rid of something here, but we do welcome you live to the Radio Ranch this, what is it, 22nd day. Maybe we should start the new calendar. I mean, this is the first day that the Mayans said we didn't end, huh, Kyle?
I guess not.
Yep. Something like that. Well, good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brett here, drove all the way down from Canada to sit in with us this morning, and then we didn't have a microphone for him, so... But he's joining us here, and we might swap some microphones out this morning and see how that goes. And we'll have the phone lines opened up, 307-745-5913, if you want to call in this Saturday morning, the first day after the Mayans said we were supposed to just be gone. But we're still here. We hope you're still there. And it might have been the end of the world for some people yesterday, but thankfully it wasn't for us. So... Well, let's start off with a word of prayer. Kyle, would you open us up in prayer, sir?
Sure, I will. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly. Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to watch over us, guide and direct us, and lead us in your ways, your thoughts. Let us have the mind of Christ, Lord, like we're supposed to have. Let our will and your will, let it run parallel together, Lord. We just ask for strength. We ask for understanding and knowledge and wisdom, Lord. As I've heard Jason say many times, if you don't ask, you're not going to receive it, you know. And we're asking, Lord. We're asking for you to be with all your remnant out there and protect them. These days and these times are going to be... quite a trial. We just ask for ask for you to be with us and give us the right tools, give us the right spirit, and give us faith, because we know without faith we can't be overcomers. We ask for all those that are with this ministry and that are yours, Lord, that's traveling through the holiday season, through the end of the year stuff, Lord, we just ask you to be with them and get them there safely, back home safely. Lord, we just ask for, again, for your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to come upon all of us. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And these days are, as you said, some dark days, it seems. But didn't really want to turn and read the Bible story, but I was thinking about it in the days when, the days in Egypt, when, not when Moses let him out, but when he was just a baby. The decree in the land is that the boys were to be put to death, right? Mm-hmm. The little boys, the two-year-olds and up or down or whatever it was. And, you know, but God had his hand in there, and there were plenty that were put to death. There were plenty that were killed. But his mother, for whatever reason, decided and came up with something else to do. And sent him down the river, so to speak.
Yeah, I think God maybe had something to do with it.
I think so, for sure. Oh, absolutely. But even in those dark days, even, you know, when defying the decree of Caesar, the decree of Pharaoh would be more appropriate then.
Well, it relates so much to the Christ story, you know. When God spoke to Joseph and said, you need to get out, you know. This is after, you know, after the story of the manger and in Bethlehem, you know. Joseph had a dream. God said, get out now. Because there was a decree in the land
mm-hmm.
that all the two-year-olds and under were going to be murdered in the area of Bethlehem. You know, and it was the same as deal as Moses. There was a decree in the land back then that, you know, there was a deliverer promised,
mm-hmm.
or they heard of a deliverer that might be born. So, let's kill all the male children. You know, same type of deal. And God delivers his own. He does. He has a master purpose, a master plan, and sometimes we don't know how it's going to work out because it sure don't look like it's working out at times. But
yep.
But he has the plan. And he will deliver.
Yeah, he will. Well, we got the phone ringing. We're going to see how this works out here. Let's go to the phone line. Good evening. Or no, it's good morning, I guess. Welcome to
we
Coffee
are,
with
We
Andrew.
Are not recording this Friday night. This is Saturday morning.
Yeah, this is. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Edie in North Carolina. I'm not very good with words, so I'm just going to put it out there and let y'all handle it. But I was thinking on this back door to get our guns kind of thing. I think they're going to make this new Obamacare thing. I think they're going to eventually, if not right away, make it about having everybody in the system to be have psych evaluations. And the thing of that is there's a lot of reasonable psychiatric things going on, like, you know, your children get killed, of course you're going to be depressed. If you're sexually assaulted, you're going to have post-traumatic stress. If you're a soldier fighting a war, if you know that you're being ordered to do things that you ought not to be doing, then you're going to have post-traumatic stress. And I think this Obamacare thing is going to be a way to put a tag and number on everybody. And once they get you tagged and numbered with this diagnosis, then they got their legitimate reason because you're mentally ill. And I think all of our brethren need to be aware of this and to just be aware and to pray. And with that, I'll let you guys go. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas, and I love you, and I'll talk with you later.
Thank you, Edie.
Bye.
God bless. Thank you.
That was very good thoughts.
I think so. You know, we're already seeing them do that with the veterans that are coming back from the wars. They're seeing them where they, you would think, I remember when they had the Virginia Tech shooting, and it seems like I saw some news reports that there were like half a dozen active duty, you know, just back on leave or in part of their rotation, Navy SEALs that attended that college, that university. They were prevented from carrying guns on campus. And I think that we're seeing that the psychological evaluation, anything and everything that they can come up with, the enemy can come up with to prevent you from carrying a firearm. Jason, you're usually pretty up on that kind of stuff. What are your thoughts on those lines?
I'm trying to think. It was probably about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, that they reevaluated how people are determined to be mentally ill. And basically, with the new requirements and the new books that have been written, and that that the psychologists use to determine if, you know, do you have this or do you have this, you know, whether it's post-traumatic syndrome, whether it's stress, whether it's ADD, whether it's OCD, everybody in America has something.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody that is exempt from having what they call a mental illness. And you know, that's been going around. They've been adding more things to this, and they've got it down today where they can declare every person in America, I don't care who you are, what you are, they can say that you have some kind of mental disorder. If you don't sleep at night, if you have sleeping problems, if you have paying attention problems, you know, they have a name for it, and they've given names to all these different things that are going on. You know, and it's cause and effect. They cause the problem, they give it a name, and then they say, oh, well, you have this mental disorder, and you can't own a gun. So they've been cracking down on it on that aspect, and I think that's exactly what they plan on doing. Is I think that's where they're going to, you know, go to a mental health evaluation, you know, and, oh, well, you know, they'll diagnose everybody, and then they'll say, well, you can't own a gun, you have a mental disorder. And I think that's where they're going to try to push with the RFID chips that have already been ordered and purchased by the federal government, where those will come into play, and that's probably what they plan on doing with them, too.
Yeah. Well, anybody that has even sort of the mind of Christ will be have a mental disorder. Because if you have any type of anything in you that likes freedom, likes liberty, you'll be one, you know, if you're not a zombie, let's put it that way, and you're not walking down the street, uttering the zombie words, you know, and looking like, you know, you have no emotion and could care less what anybody's doing around you, police, government, average citizen, what they do in their own homes is their own business type. I mean, that's what they want you to be. If you're not like that, you're gonna be, you know, it has nothing to do with, I mean, obviously sickness will come into play, but I mean, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with if you're not one of their drones.
Your thought processes.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate thought crime that they're putting in.
One more thought before you go, Richard.
Sure.
When Jesus said, "Will I find faith when I come?" It's going to get down to that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't know when exactly, you know, none of us do, and I know preachers 50 years ago were saying, you know, good preachers were saying this same thing, that it's going to come down to decisions. Are you going to fear, or are you going to have faith? And, you know, it's easy right now to sit in this cozy little room that we're in and say, well, I'm going to have faith. It was very easy for the Apostle Peter to say, I will not deny thee three times before
right.
the cock crows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Holy Spirit is so important, you know. And Peter probably wouldn't have if he would have had, you know, if it would have been after the day of Pentecost. But it wasn't. It was before that, you know. I mean, anyway, just a thought. I'm going to hand Mike over to Brent while you're talking.
Okay, we've got another caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello,
good morning.
Yeah, this is Chris from Kenosha. Hey, I'm listening to these Patriot shows and even kind of the B-stream Judeo-Christian Patriot shows, and One thing I'm hearing, and even kind of what I'm hearing from you guys, I'm hearing this beaten down attitude. Oh, they're going to take our guns away. Oh, what are we going to do? I like to remind the people out there that the Supreme Court ruled 3-4 years back they cannot ban assault rifles. And I heard the ruling right on the radio, and he said, you cannot ban assault rifles. You cannot tell them how many capacity clips they can have. You cannot tell them what kind of bullets they can have. You can't tell them they can't put the clip in the gun when they store it. And you can't tell they have a store where they don't have easy access to it. And I like people to start talking about this ruling, okay? This is what's going to hold Obama off as the Supreme Court. Us gun owners spent millions of dollars through the gun lobby to get the Supreme Court ruling.
What was the name
nobody,
of that ruling?
Nobody,
you know?
Is ruling, nobody is bringing up the Supreme Court ruling that we got this victory in this country. Us Christians fought hard for this victory, and we got a victory here. And let's stand on the victory that God gave us. Instead of acting like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, let them try another ban. We'll just take it back to the Supreme Court.
Do you,
know what,
you,
well,
you
what was the name of that ruling? Do you know?
No, I really don't. But remember they had an assault weapons ban? It was shot down. That's why it's not there anymore. It was shot down by the Supreme Court. It was Bill Clinton's assault weapons ban. It was shot down. That's why
it
went away.
It was. They had the Brady Bill for 7 years, and then after
that. Yeah,
that
was shot down, too. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, we need to do some research on the recent Supreme Court. It's Bill Clinton.
Well, yeah, the Supreme Court's always done a real good job at keeping their word, too, haven't they?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't trust them either. But, hey, on this issue, we got a victory. So let's just try to go with the victory we do get. Let's try. You know, God gave us a victory here.
There's different ways of...
Like, oh, my God. Oh, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? Oh, my God. They said they cannot ban assault rifles. And that Supreme Court justice... He went even further, and he said, not only is it your constitution right, it's a civil right of every American. That's what he said. He called it a civil right. So,
yeah, but see, one thing that they do, Chris, and I don't think the guys here disagree with you at all, to a point. One, it's when, and it kind of gets into deep, and Jason could do a much better job explaining it than I can, but when it gets, even when they say it's a civil right, you know, then, see, they by saying that and by trying to prove that, they say that that's a right that they can give or take away. We have in the Bible, right. It goes back to, you know, all the Second Amendment did.
Civil rights coming,
right.
I understand civil rights coming from man and all. I get that.
Right.
But he also
said
it was a God-given right. You know,
right.
He said not only is it a constitutional right, it's a civil right.
And
so
I think,
you know, they already ruled on it.
Right, and that's where we stand, Chris. That's where we stand. That's where we stand, that it is a God-given right, that we are commanded to... you know, if you don't have a sword, which today is a gun, sell your coat and get one. And when they said, look, here's two, and he said, well, that's good. You know, and because you only got two hands, and so that is good. And so, you know, I agree with you that you're hearing all that doom and gloom out there. Oh, they're taking our guns, they're taking our guns. That's what the doom and gloomers' jobs are. That's what the Joneses and the Smiths and the you know, Rumbaughs and all of them out there, that's their job, is to put that doom and gloom out and to put fear, you know, to put fear out there. And, you know, we probably repeated that to a certain degree, but, you know, one thing that we try to do is to turn that around, like Kyla said, is... You know, is are you going to have faith or not? Are you going to fear that, you know, they're gonna try to ban assault weapons again? Are you going to fear that, or are you going to stand in faith and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this whole thing goes back to this New World Order from Daddy Bush in the early 90s and Clinton global government, Ruby Ridge, what was it? Then it was Waco, then Oklahoma City, then 9-1-1, and we had all these school shootings under the Democrat atheist Bill Clinton. How come this only happens when Democrats are in charge? And another thing I'd like to point out to these atheists in this country, 30, 40 years ago, they took the Ten Commandments off the public schools, okay? The Supreme Court ruled we had to do that. So should we just disobey that Supreme Court ruling if they want to start disobeying Supreme Court rulings? Furthermore, the whole time them Supreme Court rulings, the Ten Commandments, were on the public schools. As far as I can tell, from the 1960s all the way back to the Pilgrims, we never had one mass shooting in a public school. It wasn't until these atheists took over, these so-called nice atheists, and they're so nice without Jesus, that all this corruption started in the public schools and all this death today that we got from the atheists that run these public schools. So I just want to point that out to the people that are listening today, that, yeah, you got your wonderful atheist next door to thank for this. So,
yeah, but the Bible says, Chris, that if we forget
glory be to Jesus Christ, and I'd just like to get that out to the people.
Thanks, Chris. So, thanks for the call.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, buddy.
You know, I'm reminded that the word says, you forget my laws. You know, couldn't you say, you take my Ten Commandments out of your school and I forget your children? I think that'd be a what's happening now paraphrase, translation, because we're seeing it.
Ultimately, in the end, I mean, he had a lot of passion for that, and as you said, nobody would disagree necessarily. But I will just say that in the end, wouldn't if they do? Wouldn't if they do ban them eventually? Wouldn't if they do? Where are we? Where's our hope? That's the thing. It's not always one or the other, you know, so black and white. And it's just looking and saying, what and if they do? What and if they take every right away? We still have Jesus Christ in the end.
Yeah. Well, and that's what the Pharisees and Sadducees of old did, is they put burdens on the people that they would not carry.
Yeah.
You know, they would require of certain things of the people that they had no intention of doing or following through or carrying out. And it's the same way today. You know, the when it comes down to these guns, I saw a thing on the news, or on the internet news anyway, and it said, it might have been from the NRA guy, and he said, you know, you have armed guards protecting your banks, you have armed guards protecting when you haul cash around, you have armed guards protecting your president, your senators, your congressmen, your governors, all that. But it's beyond you to have armed guards protecting your children. But but even that is flawed in its precept, because it's, you know, if, like Chris from Wisconsin did say, when we had the Ten Commandments in there, when we were more of a godly nation, when we were gooder, we were greater. We ain't gooder no more. And so, you know, we blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, the opposite works. Cursed is a nation whose God is not the Lord, and that's where we're at today.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. They're ringing good this morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man. This is Tom in Montana. Hey, I don't have an assault weapon. I have a defense weapon, and so they're not even talking about our gun.
That's a good one.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Good point.
I like the thing that used to come out that said Ted Kennedy's cars killed more people than my gun.
That's right. But
they don't want to look at things like that. You know, they just make up their own statistics. They make up their own words, like that assault weapon, and that's what that was done. It was just made up. True gun control stats, the top 10 big killers in the United States, first is people dying of tobacco use, then medical errors. And that's 195,000 per year, okay? Per year, 195,000 medical errors. So you would think that with 11,493 firearm murders, homicides, that's less than 10%. Nobody's coming after doctors.
I think we should outlaw doctors.
We should outlaw doctors. Absolutely. There's 118,000 unintentional injuries. Oops. 107,000 from deaths from alcohol abuse, 34,000 motor vehicle accidents. And right after this Connecticut shooting, a thing came out that said, oh, this year, in 2012, the gun deaths will exceed motor vehicle accidents. Because they just say that and put it out.
Yeah.
You know, when it's a third of what that'll be. Anyway, it says, according to the FBI, the number one weapon used in violent crimes is a baseball bat. And it says, why is there no outcry to restrict baseball bat ownership? Maybe it's because so many law-abiding citizens enjoy them safely for sport. But see, that's logical.
Yeah.
And it's logical to think that if this shooting went the way they're presenting it, which that's debatable as well, but... You know, someone walks into a school and starts shooting. If the principal has a gun that they can push one finger, only their fingerprint. And Jason, you were telling me about this last Sunday. You know, there's all types of gun safes that you're the only one that can get into it. You push a button, you pull it, there's your gun, boom, Game over. Call 911. Say, come clean up this mess.
It takes a man to do that, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the Holy Spirit has been barred from these schools. And when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have men in them either. And it takes nerve to face something like that. And even though you know you're going to get killed anyway, but at least you could die trying to get the gun away from that little rat that they turned in, if that's even the case that
right.
how it happened.
Exactly.
Well, you know.
Well, you folks have a good day.
Tom, thank you. You too.
Yep.
Just going to say the, you know, the UN, their agenda has always been to take the U.S. down. Was you got to take the Ten Commandments out, Constitution out, and the right to bear arms. You then become totally enslaved, and they're going for this one right now. And that's what it's all about. All these false flag things, it's just setting all that up. So one more comment, I want to go back to Kyle, just regarding the UN, when you were talking before about mental health, and they have already have a law passed years ago, and they have many of them that just haven't put in place. You know, they're hoping to, if God allows it in the end, how far he allows us to go. But one is regarding the UN Mental Health Act, that if you believe basically in something invisible, you're insane. So guess what? What do we believe in? What is faith? Something unseen. So we're, if, you know, think it from the evil point of view. Now, they're worshiping a spirit. They're worshiping the devil. We know that. But to them, they're looking at it that, oh, you believe in something nobody sees. You can't prove it. So you're mentally insane. And they have that there. Now, you know, they want to do all this. You know, God will... hopefully holds it, you know, back from it all. We have Psalm 91.
We have all the Psalms.
Psalms, yes, yeah.
83, good point, I think 83. I like 83, you know. Do not be silent, God. Yeah. Treat them as Midian.
Yeah.
You know, make them as dung upon the earth. I like that one.
Yeah.
And I like Psalms 91 yeah. as well, absolutely.
So it's the balance of, I'm trying to throw some balances in what I'm saying. You got to, you know, the balance of a hope with it.
Oh,
anyway,
sure.
Anyway, I'm going to give this back to Mr. Kyle.
We're going to go back to the phone lines. Let me get the button pushed here. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, sir. The so-called assault weapon ban expired about 10 years ago. It was one of those things like the supposed tax cut that just was for a period of a number of years back from the Clinton era. So it wasn't a Supreme Court ruling. I'm not denying that that Supreme Court ruling happened, but
right.
that's not what got rid of the ban on the so-called assault weapon. But we do have real assault weapons at our disposal. You know. Could you endorse me of putting on the armor?
I'm sorry, say that again, Bill.
Could you endorse me of putting on the armor?
I'm just getting a lot of static. I don't know if it's your phone line or... Wait, let me... I'm sorry.
I think he asked to pray on the armor.
Oh.
Is that what you asked, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's pray on the armor.
Father, we know that devil's been crouching at the door, and he's been waiting for something. And in your name, we want to end his streak. We put on your full armor. We guard our loins with truth, your truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shoe our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, be your word of good news. We take up the shield of faith. We've all been delivered of something. Take up the shield of faith, convinced that you'll deliver us again. We put on the helmet of salvation, and we take up the sword of the Spirit, your message. And Lord, they've been attacking us. They've been going after our children. They've been inoculating them and filling them with filth and poison from by now, from birth, that they've been contracting for hundreds of years. Turning some of them into zombies. They've been running them through this public school indoctrination system, something that's been in the works for hundreds of years, created by perverts, socialists, ungodly filth. They've been sending them off to wars and shattering their brains with exploding devices and things like that. And Lord, we curse them all. We curse all of these. First of all, we ask that, you know, anybody who's capable of coming out of this mess, the men, the women's men, the men's women, we just curse them all. We curse this so-called helping medical profession, these monster psychiatrists, these old teachers who ensure that millions of our children, especially our people and especially the boys, will be drugged. And the people who send us off to war, these so-called public servants, we curse them to hell. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know a lot of people didn't hear that because we barely could hear it here. But thanks, Bill.
Yeah, those prayers they were heard by who needs to hear them, for sure. Absolutely.
You know, you think about every aspect of putting on the full armor. I mean, you think about, well, first of all, you walk around with your feet, and you're supposed to shod them with
the preparation of the gospel of peace.
That's you know, that's first thing there. You know, but you got to have on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to have on the helmet of salvation, and in all these things are spelled out in the Word on how you do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you gird your loins with the truth of the Word. I mean, when you start thinking about all these things, you know, and why do you need the shield of faith? Because the enemies, we have enemies. There's no getting around it. We're in a war, like Jason said last week. Hey, wake up, people. We're in a war. We got to have that shield of faith. But then there's the fun one to me, the sword of the Spirit. And, that's the fun part, you know, because when you have the sword of the Spirit, it takes away the fear. I mean, obviously, there's going to be times where you get a little more excited than others, a little bit more anxious than others. But the sword of the Spirit, it says it can cut between bone and marrow. I mean, that's a pretty good cut there. And that blade's probably super hot. You know, I mean,
and sharp.
You know, and when you start looking at it like that, with each individual piece, you know, and don't forget any of them,
right?
You know, because there's guys that don't have that feet.
They don't have the piece
with the gospel of peace.
Right.
They don't have that.
They don't have that piece.
And then there's
so
guys
important.
That don't have the sword. All they have is peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and they'll let anybody walk on. I mean, there's a balance there to have all the working parts, and when you start. You know, fixing your thoughts on all those aspects, you know, I mean, it's exciting.
It is. Yeah, what you mentioned, Brett, about the UN, you know, Ephesians 6:12 tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, it for the UN to come out with what you're talking about, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, the Christians in the early age were, you know, they had to have something against them, you know, because they were turning the world upside down. You know, they just accused them of being cannibals. Oh, you eat the body, you drink the blood. See, they admit it with their own words. They eat the body and drink the blood, kill them. And some felt that way. You know, but I have to think that some that had that faith, God's plan was still in effect,
yep.
And he still brought many, many through that. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Chris from Wisconsin. Yeah, I might have misspoke on that assault weapons ban. What that was, it was when they dropped the city weapons bans in these cities in Chicago, New York. But that was the ruling. They said they could not ban classes of weapons. That's what I meant. It wasn't the assault weapons ban. They shot down. It was some city bans. But when they ruled it, they said they could not ban weapons and tell us what kind of clips we can have, what kind of ammo we can have, stuff like that. So I just wanted to clarify that with that different caller just called in.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Sure,
yep,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Good to hear from Chris out in Wisconsin again.
I like that stat you read earlier about the baseball bats.
Yeah, I got this, you know, I mean, everything's on email anymore. I'd be glad to send it to you. Maybe we'll get it in the newsletter next, you know, in January.
I played, you know, baseball my whole young life, probably 25, 30 years of one form or another. So I have a few baseball bats hanging around my house that, you know, I haven't played in years, but But I like having a baseball bat, especially near the front door. Most people have a coat closet near their front door or something. I mean,
you have a baseball bat closet.
A baseball bat is nice to have near your front door. It's just, there's other things to have, but that's just one of, growing up playing ball, that's just one of the things that I kind of like to have. I was telling a young man yesterday, down at the print shop that back in the late 70s, there was gas shortage. And people, at least in Oregon, there was a group of people, maybe a lot, that they'd go out and siphon people's gas out of their cars. Well, I remember in the middle of the night hearing a metal gas can maybe hit the pavement, so mm-hmm. I knew, I remember, and I was telling about it, I remember chasing them down the road in my underwear with a baseball bat, and hitting the back of their car as they're driving off, because that's just the way it is.
Right.
I wasn't thinking, oh man, if I hit them, they're going to sue me. It didn't even enter my mind.
You were trying to hit them, or at least chase them away.
They're at least going to get a dent or two in their car if they're going to, if they're going to get a gallon of gas out of my car. But I mean, and I was a teenager. I'd be yelling at to my dad as I was running. Hey, there's somebody siphoning gas as I'm running out the door. And he'd usually be awake and up in the living room when I got back in.
Are you doing?
But I mean, that's just the way it should be. I mean, that really is the way it should be. You shouldn't be worried. Well, if I hit this guy that's stealing from me, am I going to have a lawsuit against me?
And that's the mentality.
Yeah.
But was it Tom that said, it takes a man to pull a gun on somebody trying to kill people. It takes a man to grab a baseball bat and chase somebody away
that's stealing from you. I don't even know how people that think that way because it's like when you're in a situation and you're reacting, let's say a mall shooting or somebody siphoning your gas, don't we just react? Doesn't the character of a man just come out?
It does. It does. But what's the scripture verse about God making the man more scarcer than the gold of Ophir?
Yeah.
I remember Pastor Peter's teaching on that. And he said that's one of the things that has been taken away. Not all.
Right.
Not all, but they're scarcer than the gold of Ophir now. They just don't.
And I remember Pastor used to say, and his dad taught him when he was young, about Mexicans, because of the knives. There are certain things we need to learn and we need to know, there are situations that come up that maybe will change your thought process a little bit, but at the same time, I got to just let them do it. That's the way the world is now. Just let them do it. There's nothing we can do. You can't fix anything with violence.
Well, see, if you can go to logical thought, like the statistics, there's 195,000 people die every year because of medical errors. I didn't realize it at the time, but the more I talk to my sisters, that's what they're telling me about my mom. We went out and saw her. She was fine, but, she developed an infection and, they're in a like an ER nursing home and they don't find it for 2 weeks. So there's another one. Yeah. That kind of hits close to home. And so, there's 10 times that than people that are killed with guns. Yeah. And that's any kind of gun. That's gangbangers, anything. These people that don't see that big enough sign. That was something John brought up last week. Said that, the solution in their mindset is to get a bigger sign that says no guns. Or to put more signs up. And when you're dealing with these left-wing liberals and these anti-gunners, there's no logical thought. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's 1 + 1 is, it can be many things. It's not logical thought. And I remember talking to the pastor about this. When you come up against somebody or a group that just will not reason logically, that you have a type of demon possession. Yeah. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's one way to recognize them, is there's no the absence of logical thought there. Yeah. Of one plus one is two. You know, people go in and shoot people where it says gun-free zones. Because they know, you know, they know they're not going to have any opposition. They've got a certain amount of time before the police get there. You know, and for whatever, whether it's the, you know, they're mind controlled or on drugs or just played too many video games, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't think the cause, you know, or the cause matters. It happens. And what was it was out in Salt Lake, a mall several years ago. It was a gun-free zone, but there was an off-duty policeman there with his service revolver concealed, and this guy comes in and starts shooting, and the cop takes him out, you know, before he kills more people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you don't have something like that, or when you don't have something like that, you see from the Oregon shooting a couple weeks ago, you know, to Connecticut, to, you know, it's like the flavor of the month, Aurora in June or July. It's like once a month you get this. And that's also with the Democrats ruling, you know, because I think for the most part they set these up. So, Jason, have you been able to follow? I know you're busy as a one-arm paper hanger down there getting the newsletter printed and all that. But have you you been able to follow? You got anything else to put in with?
Like to you know, first of all, you know, they talk about that shooting, and I went back and watched some of the first footage of this Sandy Hook shooting. And their representative comes out and wants to talk about this shooting. And one of the things that caught me that was really interesting is he came out, he didn't call it a shooting. He didn't call it an incident. He didn't call it anything other than a project. And talked about the project that they were working on. And to me, that really stuck out, because that was just a, you know, his choice of words was rather puzzling to me. You know, it was a project. And second of all, you know, looking at, you know, just the other information that's come available, was speaking with Andre last night, who's up there in Connecticut, and, you know, he confirmed a lot of things that I've heard bits and pieces of. And, you know, that is that, you know, first of all, they did, you know, this guy allegedly goes in and kills, you know, 27 people with a 9mm and a 40 caliber handgun. You know, coroner's reports were that they were all shot with 223 rifles.
Yes.
You know, a 223 rifle cartridge. 223 is a rifle cartridge. You know, most people think of an AR-15, M4, M16, Mini 14, something along those lines as far as, you know, something that accepts the 223 cartridge. Well, so all these people are killed with 223 rounds. They find this man, the alleged killer's 223 rifle, locked in the trunk of his car, and it had not been fired. And so, you know, it just, you look at, okay, that's just one thing that just don't add up. And, you know, they first reports were, you know, they did catch another man, and supposedly he's still in custody, off in the woods in full camouflage with a rifle, watching the school that was, you know, a relative of the shooter's, and he supposedly is in custody now. They were looking, there was police running all over the place looking for a maroon-colored SUV that was full of shooters that were seen speeding away from the scene of the crime. So, you know, it's like, where, you know, what is really going on there? Is this just one of their projects?
Right.
You know, and that's the question. And it appears to me that it is, because you look at, you take that, and then you look at the head of the investigations there at the school. You had a local press conference and said, if you tweet, if you put anything on any social medias of any type of information concerning this case that does not line up with what we release, we will prosecute you with every extent of the law.
I've heard that they've shut down people's Facebook account and things like that, the social medias.
They've shut down Facebook.
For people putting alternative things out there.
You know, and people are trying to say, this is what I've heard or this is what I saw, and they've just been shutting it down left and right. You know, and you go back, and this is nothing new under the sun. This is what they did with, you know, the Aurora, Colorado shooting. Boom. You know, there was more than one shooter involved in that.
Yes.
You know, anybody that puts any time into looking at that can, you know, you can see it. You know, the evidence is there. The Oregon Mall shooting, same deal. More than one shooter. And, you know, so what is, you know, there's something else going on. And they refer to these things, you know, their projects. And then, you know, what's really interesting, and, you know, it was even on, you know, national news yesterday as, oh, these conspiracy people that are following these conspiracy theories are making a big deal about this Batman movie. Well, it is interesting. If you go and watch that Batman movie, it's in big, bright red letters right in the background. It says Aurora. And, you know, we had the Aurora shooting during that movie playing in Aurora, Colorado.
Yeah.
And that was quite interesting. And then you look at the map in there's a map, a scene in the movie where you can see a map, and the only thing that you can read on the map is Sandy Hook, which is where this shooting we just had take place was. And, you know, so our enemies know, they put it out there before. They put you on notice. They tell you what they're going to do in, you know, subconscious, subliminals. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Is this just another one of their MK Ultra studies? You know, are they just, you know, doing, I believe that they're using mind control and they're doing a testing on it.
Yeah.
And that this shooting that we just had at the Sandy Hook school, it was, I think the best word to describe it would be a sacrifice. And I think that they sacrificed children to their gods and, you know, trying to get the power out of it, and it was a sacrifice on their behalf, you know, and they did their sacrifice, and they want to receive the power from it, the blessings from it, and they're trying to make their connections with their gods.
Jason, did you hear anything about that the parents that supposedly had their kindergartners shot up to 11 times each were not allowed to see any of the bodies or any of the, have you heard anything about that?
Yep, I have heard that as well.
Now, you know, I'm a parent, and I like to think of myself as a Christian man that you talked about earlier, Kyle. And, you know, you love your children, and regardless of what might happen to them, am I alone here in thinking that, you know, even if my kindergartner is shot 11 times, I'm going to want to see that. I'm going to want to have, I remember the pastor talking about the importance of funerals, not for the dead, but it's for the living, that it gives, especially for a family member, it gives a sense of closure.
Well, a Christian man would probably end up in jail, or they'd get to see their child, one of the two.
Okay, you know? So I just want to make sure that I'm not way out here thinking that. And so just that, if it weren't for anything else, but I saw a news report on that, and it said, oh, that they deemed, the Connecticut coroner deemed that it would be too traumatic for the parents to see that. Now, to me, Jason, that fits right in with what you're saying, that it's just a project. But to me, that, you know, that one thing, and then that in the same news report that says that all the children were killed with a .223, you know, highly fragmentable bullet, all blah, blah, blah. The same news report says that the .223 was locked in his car.
Hello.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's just like you say, Jason. It is, they pull these things off. They have pulled the wool over our eyes. They do these things. And the sheep, you know, fluoridated, entertained, non-thinking, zombie-like sheep. Okay. They were shot with a rifle. The rifle was locked in the car. Okay. Bah. You know, you're saying my child's dead. You're not going to show him to me. Okay. Bah.
Yeah. And it's been going on for years.
It has.
Grassy knoll or, I mean, whatever, wherever you want to go, the walking on the moon. I mean, you have facts come out, and the sheeple or the sheep are, they believe what they want to believe. You
right. Is there anything, you know, they want their ears tickled.
And then at a personal level, you get, you got, you know, we've all seen it. You know, I remember the pastor talking about the gypsy woman that poisoned the child, that he had all this proof, but yet there was a certain amount of people that, oh, I don't care about the truth.
No.
This gypsy woman is a great Christian lady. You know, they believe what they want to believe. And that's,
right.
I mean, it's from the smallest level to the biggest level. Columbine, I remember I was home from work for whatever reason the day Columbine shooting happened. And I'm watching these parents, because they're live news, you know. The guy's inside shooting children. The cops are hiding behind their cars. For one, he wasn't shooting out the windows at the cars.
Right.
I mean, but the cops are all hiding behind their cars like the brave cops they are, you know. Keeping the parents from rushing into the school, because there was a few men and women there that wanted to run into the school.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm yelling at the screen saying, I can't, you know, if they all ran into the school, believe me, less children would die. You know, but they don't really care about the children.
No.
I mean, it's all a big
game. It's like Jason said, it's a project.
Yeah.
How's this project going to work out? You know, let's put the thing, the pieces in play, and see what happens. Hey, we got time for one more call. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Wranglers. It's Kevin in Ohio.
Hi, Kevin.
Well, you mentioned that broken up shooting down there in Colorado years back. That reminded me. That was a woman that did that. That was good.
Well, it was just a different one. I think you're talking about the church shooting.
The guy had
gone to a church and shot a few people. Then he goes to like another one, and as he's shooting people there, they have a female security guard, and she pulled her .38 or something out and shot the guy dead. Yeah.
Yeah, that
or shot
really,
him anyway.
Yeah. What we're really discussing here is their dialectic. They frame the arguments. The arguments are not the core values that we stand for. Once they get to frame the argument, we're lost. We're completely adrift. We're not with our God. And that's what they're doing.
You got it right on, yeah.
Right.
It's the money, man. That's it. It is right on the money. It's the dialectic. It's not the issue of what the core value is. Keep your hearts, keep your minds right there. Stay with Him. When we talk the way they talk about the issues, then we're lost. As soon as we get off base. God bless you, man. God bless you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Let's go, Jen.
Have a good weekend. He's right. Well, we got a couple of minutes left, I think. Yeah, a few more minutes here to kind of wrap things up. I want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can come to church. Come to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, at 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock Mountain. Yeah, 11 o'clock Central, noon on the East Coast. Join us for scriptural insight and study. And a communion service. We'll have some good music. Paul's going to lead some music that we have there, and then a good Holy Spirit-inspired sermon.
Edie said something at the end of her conversation that some might not like, but she said, have a Merry Christmas. Tuesday night's Christmas, and I plan on doing a Christmas show about Christ. You know, there's another one of those things that, you know, How does people who say they're Christians look at an Xmas and not have a problem with that? Because where's the X? Where Christ is, you know what I mean? But anyway, my show ain't going to be about that. But it's going to be about the birth of Christ. Probably go all the way to the resurrection of Christ, because that is the whole Christ story.
Amen.
You know? It's not going to be about Santa or Frosty or Rudolph or any of that stuff. It's going to be about the birth of Christ. I thought, what a great day to talk about it.
Every day is a great day to talk about it.
Yeah,
but especially that one. So we'll definitely do that. Tune in Tuesday night. That's Kyle. It'll start at 7 o'clock Mountain, and I think we're trying to clear it out so you do have the full 2 hours, right? And you wanted to start at 7 to 8.
Yeah, that'd
eight
be
to
good.
Nine.
You know, that way I could go all the way to the resurrection.
So we'll sure see. We'll get with Jason and see if we can work that through the schedule. I think we can. And then that's Tuesday night. Wednesday night, we'll be back here for Wednesday night prayer meeting. We encourage you to join us here for that. And again, and all these are at 7 p.m. Mountain. I'll be back Thursday night with 7 times 70. We'll be reading out of the scripture and going over a few things. And then make sure you tune in on Friday night and join Jason for Gideon's Armory. And again, all these are at 7 p.m. Mountain 8 p.m. Central and 9 p.m. Eastern. Well, Brett, we sure appreciate you coming out and driving all the way down from Canada just to join us here on this Saturday morning. So we sure appreciate that. We do ask you to keep the solemn assembly and the winter family gathering that's going on next weekend in your prayers, December 28th, 29th, and 30th. We know that there's many that wanted to come out that just for whatever reason could not. We do ask you that on that Saturday, we'll tell you that we're going to be fasting and praying, crying out to God, repenting, seeking personal repentance, national repentance, talking with the people that are there and seeing what's on their mind and coming together, having iron sharpen iron and coming together to worship Him but to cry out to Him. And so we encourage you to do that as well a week from today, to even if you're just there at home, if you can, to fast, to pray, to cry out to Him. His word is true. He says when His people do that, when they humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and cry out to Him, that He will hear and He will come and heal this land. The land needs healing. It certainly does.
Yeah, well, you're on the subject of fasting. Now, the Bible does describe how man is to fast, to go into his closet, anoint his eyes with oil, and not let it be seen by man. This is not that kind of a fast. You know, that's talking about somebody who is, oh, I fast for 3 days, and, you know, a proud man, so to speak. There's a way to do it and a way not to do it. This solemn assembly fast is different. You know, it's more in the lines of what Nineveh had to do when all the animals even fasted. I mean, it's about getting close to God, you know, and seeing God's face. And, I mean, this is a whole different type deal. I know a couple people have mentioned to me, well, aren't you just supposed to do that in secret? Well, yes, in general, you know.
Right.
But this solemn assembly is different than that, you know, and you just hope you know the difference.
Well, you mentioned earlier about how they put us on notice. I want to put them on notice. We're going to go out with a different song, and it's from Psalms 83. And I think this song puts them on notice. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Or unresponding, do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarenes are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joins their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb, make their chiefs, their lords like Zeba, who thought thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the winds, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name,
Yahweh,
then.
Let
them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone. Yes, you are Yahweh. You are the one most high o'er all the earth.